Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the third reading for this night from John chapter 18. I read for you again these words. Pilate said, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. In a criminal trial, there are three concepts central to the issue. Innocent, guilty, and free. If all things go as they should, the guilty will be punished, and the innocent will go free. But we know that everything doesn't always go as it should. As we continue our Lenten journey this night, we meet Barabbas, whose name means son of the Father. Keep that in mind as you hear of Jesus' trial before Pilate. Indeed, tonight we hear of the most important trial of all time. Its outcome will have cosmic consequences. Consider then the one on trial before Pontius Pilate. Jesus is the true Son of the Father, and he is innocent of any and all wrongdoing. Even Pilate knows it. After all, he tells the crowd, "I find no guilt in him." And he wanted to set Jesus free. He certainly did not think that Jesus deserved the cross. Maybe a lecture or even a lashing, but not the cross. As Judea's governor, Pilate sits on the judgment seat because he has imperium, supreme power, and absolute dominion. In Judea, Pilate decides the formal death penalty cases. You live or you die, according to Pontius Pilate. And Pilate declares that Jesus is innocent. And he does so again at least two more times. And the rest of the New Testament takes it even further. The New Testament says that Jesus is absolutely and perfectly innocent. Hebrews 4 says that Jesus was without sin. 2 Corinthians 5 says of Jesus, he knew no sin. When it came to sin, Jesus never did it. He's innocent. But Barabbas, he was undeniably guilty, and then some. He had been tried and rightly convicted. So Pontius Pilate poses the question to the people. Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." And then, just in case you don't know who Barabbas is, John tells us, "Now Barabbas was a robber." Now the word that is used for robber, lestis, indicates a marauding, violent outlaw who finances his lawlessness through what he plunders and steals. And how do we know that? It's the same word used in the parable of the Good Samaritan, where Jesus says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Barabbas was the worst kind of outlaw. He wouldn't just rob you. He would rob you and kill you. Mark 15:7 tells us more. Among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. Now, it's possible that Barabbas was among the leaders of the insurrection. And the insurrectionists were anti-Roman rioters who belonged to a political group called the Zealots. And the Zealots had one item on their agenda: get the Romans out of Judea. And Zealots were ready to slit throats to make that happen. So don't for a moment think that Barabbas was a petty thief or a second-hand scoundrel. Rome would not condemn a small-time crook to crucifixion, but they would execute Alestis, a robber and a true, honest-to-goodness insurrectionist. Barabbas, the son of the Father, was judged guilty and condemned to die. He would be crucified by noon, dead by sundown. His only future was a cross, three nails, and an awful death. So while Jesus is innocent, Barabbas is definitely guilty. And so are we. We're all born dead in trespasses and sins. We are blinded by the God of this world, and we are hopeless. Our finest deeds are unclean rags. Just call us Barabbas. Paul says as much in Romans chapter 7. Wretched man that I am! Not, I was a wretch. No, I am a wretch. Present tense. Right now, today. As a believer, truth be told, I'm still a wretch. The Bible calls it sin. And this sin is not merely a regrettable lapse or an occasional stumble. Sin stages a rebellion against God's rule. Sin storms the heavens. Sin lays claim to God's throne. Sin defies God's authority. Sin sneers, "Get out, God! Get lost, God! I'm in charge here, God!" All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. You have your way. I have my way. Your way may be accumulation. Her way may be intoxication. His way may be flirtation. We all have turned our own way, just like sheep. Now, I don't like to confess it. In fact, I just as soon avoid it. But I'm Barabbas. I'm a prisoner to my past, my low road choices, and my high-minded pride. And God has declared me guilty. And what's his sentence? The wages of sin is death. So imagine, it's the Roman guard with the key. He unlocks the prison door, swings it open and shouts, Barabbas, you're free. They chose you to go free. Barabbas stumbles into the light of day, shackles gone, crimes pardoned. He's free. With Barabbas, the guilty go free. And that's the same with us as well. How so? Christ, the true Son of the Father, the Son of God the Father, endured not just Roman nails, the mockery, and the spear, but also the gears of God's grinding justice. For you see, God does not overlook sin. God doesn't say, hey, no big deal. That's not how it works. God is holy, righteous, sovereign, and perfect. God cannot overlook sin. God must punish sin. And that's why God placed all our sin on Jesus. It's accurate to say then, Christ substituted himself for the world. But it's life-changing to say, Christ substituted himself for me. My sins? They are many. God's mercy? It is so much more. I'm free. Psalm 146, verse 7 says, the Lord sets the prisoners free. Romans 8:2 says, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. Galatians 5:1 says, for freedom Christ has set us free. And Revelation 1, verse 5 tells us, Jesus has freed us from our sins by his blood. There are a million ways to become a prisoner, but there is only one way to be free, and that way is Jesus. The Savior's liberating power sets you free from the condemnation of your sin, free from the pain of your past, free from the worry about your future. No one and nothing can take this freedom from you. No law can stop it. And no power on earth or hell can destroy it. Yes, the Son of the Father died in the place of a son of the Father, the devil himself. And the Son of the Father died in the place of you. You, who are by nature a son of the devil as well. But in Christ, you have been made a son of the Heavenly Father by virtue of your baptism into Christ. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's you, like Barabbas, by faith, forever free. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.